This is HPR episode 2235 entitled Linux.conf.0 2017, first time of interviews, and is part of the series Interviews. It is hosted by Clinton Roy and is about 37 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is Clinton speaks to three Linux.conf.0 first timers.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Here we are at the afternoon tea session of the final day of LinuxConf.au. So this is the final chance that I have to have a talk with someone. All my previous interviews have been with old hands at LinuxConf.au.
All right.
So I thought it'd be a really good idea to try and get the opinion of someone who hasn't been to LinuxConf.au before.
Well, that is in fact the case. Yes, my first LinuxConf.
So I'm joined by York, who I'm actually sharing some accommodation with back at the student dorms.
Indeed.
So just to try and get a little bit of context, have you been to other conferences before?
No, I don't think I've been to essentially any conference.
Okay,
right. Certainly not professionally oriented, as much as Linux is. Well, there's a component of professional, I guess. There's also a component of hobbyist, which is the ticket I'm here under.
Yep, cool. Yeah. Okay, so... So how are you finding it?
Oh, it's been quite enjoyable. I mean, also a bit intense. It's been 2 days at least. I've gone, I actually have to go back and have a nap sort of thing.
Right. Used up all of the brain power.
And it's not... that's even after getting plenty of sleep, because I'm pretty insistent in getting my sleep. So
yep.
I can say with fair confidence that it is actually pretty draining.
Yes.
I mean, 5 days, that's... Yeah.
And I think... It depends on how deeply you dive into these things, where if you go to talks that are outside of your wheelhouse...
Which is, frankly, most of them.
It's very easy to go to a lot of talks that are very detailed on a topic that you know nothing about. And you because you're not comfortable in that area, you just end up spending a lot more brain power trying to catch up to it.
Well, as much as I can, of course. There's a lot of blanks to be like, I actually have no reference material in my head and I can't really go and look it up right now.
Yeah.
You can Google when you're in a private space and you've only got the computer in front of you, but when you've got the talk in front of you, you haven't even the time nor really the capacity to do that, unless you want to miss the talk.
So did you manage to come for the entire conference, I think?
More or less.
Cool. So both the mini conferences and the main part of the event?
I mean, well, actually, to be honest, I think I found out even possibly some more value in the mini comps than the main ones, to be honest.
Okay.
Maybe because the mini comps were a little bit more experimental, I guess.
Yep.
As the main conferences did have quite a lot of technical detail, which I wasn't really able to grasp.
Right, okay.
So I particularly enjoyed the first one I went to, which was the one on how do you deal with... machines that are on the customer's site, but it's your job to administer.
Right.
That was all called the opposite of the cloud.
The on-premise solution is the other buzzword that we use for that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
So what made you sort of decide to come to LinuxConf.au? And that expectation and that reason for joining, has that been met?
I had been meaning to go to LinuxConf for the last 2 years or so and didn't get around to it. The thing that actually tipped me over is the fact that it's in Tasmania. I have family here. I love Tasmania. It's nice and cool. You know, the Australian summers can be very hot, but that's not the case here, especially considering the rain and cloud outside.
Yep.
Well, it hasn't been like that all this week, but...
Yep.
You know, at least in the final days. So. Right, here's Hobart.
I come from Brisbane, so... It is very rare for the conference to be anywhere where the weather's hotter and worse. So I do see LinuxConf AU in January as a very good way of escaping some of the worst, the hottest, muggiest weather, for sure. A lot of people use LinuxConf AU as a bit of a trip. If they're coming from overseas, it's a long way, so they'll whack on a few days beforehand and afterhand to pad out a bit of a trip. So, yeah. Okay, so how have you been enjoying the talks?
The method in which I've been enjoying it, I don't know, I've mostly just listened, looked at the slides, thought about it a bit, it's not really a thing that you can sort of do anything else, because if you start trying to talk to your neighbour, that's A, rude to the person up front, B, you're not going to be able to hear what they're saying, and if you go and look up some reference material, it's the same sort of maybe not distracting, but you still can't really hear what's going on.
Over the years, I've sort of gone through a few different phases. I would try to take notes on the laptop,
and then I did that for the first couple, but then after that, I'm like, nah, I can't bother.
Yeah, I ended up ditching the laptop, and I just used pencil and paper.
Oh.
And I would just take one or two sort of powerful notes, like if there was something that I definitely wanted to go back and look up later. It'd just be a particular project name or URL or something like that.
Yes.
But I do still find that some talks I get into, and then it's like, yeah, there's no part of this talk that I'm going to be able to use. It's interesting,
I think I found that a lot too. Like on the Monday, I started taking notes after that, and very much reduced. I did actually, though, yesterday afternoon, sort of sat down and thought to myself, okay, so what did I actually listen to? And so I went through the list, I went to that, and then wrote like a very quick 1-3 sentence summary to myself of what I picked up there.
Yep, for sure.
So, hopefully so that if I go over it, can sort of jog my memory a bit more about some of the other contents of it.
Yep, for sure. And I have no idea what you do as a trade. So are you working or studying at the moment?
Well, I'm working. I have worked at the same company. It's a little company.
So was work at all involved in sending you? So it's a personal thing?
I did mention it to one of the guys there. You could possibly get it through work, but I just didn't really want to follow it up. But at that point, I'd actually already bought the ticket and, the whole Tasmania thing. And I thought, it's new for me.
Yep.
I thought it was more for myself than for my company.
Yep, for sure.
I thought I'd let it go. Maybe next time I'll consider it more seriously, going through the company, but...
Yep, for sure.
Next time.
So, you also mentioned you did a little bit of volunteering before?
Yeah, so I was a speaker in the last session. Did I say speaker? No, I didn't mean speaker. I was a session chair. A much less intensive thing. I don't think coming as a speaker is necessarily something you'd want to do on your very first show.
Sure.
Yeah. So session chair.
So you're introducing the speaker.
Yeah.
Keeping them to time and handling the Q&A part after the talk.
Yeah. Well, the first one didn't really get a lot of Q&A. We got one. The rule is.
Always.
You're not here for comments, you're here for questions.
Yes.
So the first guy I walk up to immediately goes and gives a comment, and I'm like, that's not a question. We actually have time for one more question, which is the original premise. So the second one at least was a question.
Cool.
Thank
you very much for volunteering, for doing that session sharing.
I should probably also mention, I don't feel I did it very well. It's like a sort of broken up speech, a bit stuttery, because I didn't really have time to prepare.
It'll be totally fine. It's like the most important thing is keeping the speaker to time and not letting the speaker run over time. So that's the main thing.
Yeah.
So have any talks really grabbed you in a particular way? Like things that you definitely want to go back and have a look at a particular project? Or
yeah, it was actually one that was a bit more of a human one. But that's actually not so much for their human aspect, more because I'm sort of interested in doing that myself. It was a pair from New Zealand who came around with, how do we make a humidity and temperature sensor really cheap so that way we can deploy it in people's houses where mold is a constant problem?
Oh.
So I myself, I in my case, it's sort of the opposite. I think it gets too hot, and I wouldn't mind knowing, you know, how hot it actually gets and the humidity, etc. And so, I don't know. This actually register as a charity. I'm thinking maybe they do a 2-for-1, like a 1 for the purchaser,
one for the give away.
Yeah, yeah. Then I'd probably get into that. But yeah, yep. So it was actually, what it was is it was intended to be one for every room, not just for the house.
Oh, so right.
That was really where that they're targeting cheap, and that's the reason.
Yep.
Because they were finding that there was actually quite a bit of difference. Some rooms were more seriously mold affected than other. Like the main speaker, she was saying that her daughter was getting fairly serious asthma.
Alright.
She started monitoring this and noticed that the guest room was actually much better, and so she ended up moving to the guest room. So
is that cool. Is that like a post earthquake thing, or is that
an
old building sort of thing?
Well, yeah, there was a lot of old buildings. They said that there was a standard in 2007, but of course the majority is the long tail of all the buildings before that. It wasn't just very old ones, it was ones that were still even just up to that, you know, cheap construction and all that. Yeah, it's just it's nothing to do with the earthquake. It's just New Zealand is cold and damp.
Okay, right. Okay.
Much like Tasmania, which someone else mentioned.
Yeah.
Similar issues here.
Coming from a hot climate, we don't suffer a lot of cold issues, so we don't really.
No, I'm from Adelaide, which both warm and dry.
Yeah, right. So yeah, there's a lot of these things where you just don't really think about it. Like there's a lot of. A lot of house renovation shows and stuff from the States and the UK, and where they're dealing with like literally freezing conditions. So they've got to insulate their pipes and all that sort of stuff to stop them cracking. And all of those things are completely alien to me. So
I'm very much in favour of insulation for housing.
Yep.
I'm sort of thinking to myself, if I do ever get into the property market, I want to build my own because I want to control all those aspects to make sure it's all insulated properly.
Yep. For sure.
And, of course. I think one of the things I was also mentioning that same talk is that which is not measured is not maintained.
Yep.
And so, of course, I intend to also put in various smart home features and monitoring.
Yep, for sure.
Very much.
So, overall, have you liked your conference experience? Would you be thinking of, would you like to return in future?
Yes, I would like to return in future.
Okay.
It's been, it's been intense, but it only happens every now and then, so it kind of has to be.
Yeah. And is there anything that you think we could improve on?
I haven't thought that far ahead yet. Maybe after a second go, I might have a better idea, have a more critical mind once I've sort of had some expectations set and some time to think about it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And I mean, the conference does change every year because it's in a different city every year. It's a different organising team every year.
Yeah.
So, you know, all of the details change from year to year. So... little things that you might like this year, they might not be around next year, and there might be, you know, one year there might be something really interesting that happens, but it only happens in that year.
It
all depends on the particular venues that they get and the particular circumstances that they come across.
We actually had ARNet this year, and I thought that was kind of cool, but now you mention that, I'm thinking that's probably not something that's often the case. Do they also get good internet?
Yeah, so Arnet has been a long-time sponsor. Sort of historically, LinuxConf AU has been held at or near universities.
Yeah.
So we've had really strong links to academia and through the Arnet network.
Okay, so they have actually been able to keep it up, internet access.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose it's just as well, especially these days, of streaming them live.
Yeah.
I did actually... they said at the start, not stream while I was here. And I didn't actually, but I had to go away quickly. So I had to put the bus over using my mobile internet, streaming the keynote.
Cool. Yeah.
Or at least part of it.
Yep.
So, yeah, I guess that's...
Yeah.
People do use it.
And I think I don't know anymore. Like, I think it's a really nice thing that we've got all of the videos recorded. And I think... based on what I see from videos from a lot of other conferences, I do think our recordings are actually quite good. Like we have a hardware set up so that the slides are actually captured. Like it's not just a camera looking at the slides.
Yeah.
The slides are actually captured in midstream. So I think our recordings are actually really quite top notch. And I think that it makes it an interesting archive of information later on.
Yeah, and I there were a couple that I missed that I wanted to go to, but due to concurrency issues, and also there was one I wanted to see that I was chairing for a different one, so I definitely will be utilizing those resources.
Yep, excellent. All right. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
Not especially.
Yep, no, that's fine.
Just that I discovered that Wargaming Sydney is not in fact a tabletop thing, but in fact they do actual development and were involved in the software thing, like the World of Tanks they mentioned.
So oh, okay. So
I'm surprised.
So our coffee sponsor for this conference is wargaming.net.
So I really expect it to be like tabletop sort of Warhammer style. I mentioned that, and they're like, no, we didn't do that. I was like, sorry.
I haven't seen anyone win any of the prizes that they've been putting on offer, so I don't actually know what the prizes are, so I'll be very curious to find out what's going on there. Alright, well, I'm glad that you enjoyed your first LCA. I hope that and thank you for volunteering. I hope that in future that you come back and you get more and more involved. The mini conferences are a good way of beginning to become a speaker. And you know, in a few years' time, you might be speaking. You might be helping to organise a conference in a few years' time. So you never know. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Clinton.
So here we are again for what will probably be the final interview for LinuxConf AU for Hacker Public Radio this year. It is a very noisy afternoon tea time, and straight after this we'll go into our closing ceremony. And I'm here with Kat, who has been involved with the conference before, but this is her first time attending as a regular attendee.
Hi Clinton, how are you going?
I'm going quite well. So I've done a number of interviews with a lot of old hands for the conference, but I thought it would be, it sort of behoved me to do a couple of interviews with first timers or earlier people.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, we're very, you know, this is my 16th, so you know I'm quite used to how things run, and there are probably a lot of rough edges that I'm quite used to, and I think sometimes the only way to realise to get an objective view of something and figure out if something's can be improved is to get an outside view.
Yep.
So I guess briefly, give us a little bit of backstory of how you have been involved with the conference before.
Okay, so my partner has been involved with LCAs and Linux since the very beginning, I think. And we started coming to the conference together in 2010. And in 2010, I came on the Partners Program. And then I think 2012 and 2013, I volunteered. And then 2015, again, I went on the Partners Program. But this year, there was no Partners Program. And I've always kind of straddled that, you know, should I be on the Partners Program or should I actually be, like, attending the conference?
Yep.
So I looked at the program this year and I thought, there's quite a few talks that I'd be interested in, so maybe I'll just come along on a student ticket because I'm studying a science degree.
Cool.
So that's why I'm here.
Cool. So the Partners Program is something that has been run a number of years, and the idea is that if a speaker and their whole family is coming, make it an easy list of things to do for the partner to do while the speaker is at the conference. So, generally there are a bunch of checklist touristy items that you kind of have to do when you're visiting a place.
Yep.
And yeah, you're right. Like I think certainly a place like Hobart doesn't really need that sort of Partners Program because most things are like there's a lot of touristy things close to the city, so yeah, they just didn't think to run the Partners Program.
Yep.
But they are running childminding programs and stuff, so
yep.
We haven't abandoned the families at all. I think it's just changing situations and thought about it.
Yep.
So what were some of the talks that sort of enticed you to get over the line and become a delegate?
So I'm a biologist. and I use R a lot. So there was a talk on R here, so that was directly relevant to stuff that I do. So that was kind of like the first thing that I thought was applicable to me. And then as I started browsing the program, I actually realized that like the open knowledge type stuff and the open data, that's all stuff I'm really interested in, and again, relevant to me as a scientist who needs to use data.
Yep.
So that's
Doesn't want to have to pay through the teeth for data that the public purse has already paid for once before.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep. Cool. So how have you found it?
I've really, really enjoyed my week here. It's been great. There's been very few sessions where I haven't found something to go through, even if it's not directly, relevant to what I'm studying or what I'm working on. It's still interesting stuff that I can go and see.
Cool. So do you think you've come across anything that you'll be able to take back into your regular work and maybe found a project or an R library or something like that that you want to look at later on?
I don't know. Possibly not, but does it mean that it hasn't kind of exposed my thinking to different ways of looking at stuff?
Yep. And have you been happy with your conference experience? Is there anything that's that you haven't liked? That's something that we should look at fixing in the future or anything like that?
No, I've really enjoyed everything I've done here. There was even a time at one of the breaks we had where I was just talking to some random people that were here, and without getting into too much detail, one of the implementations of R that I use is a GUI. And so I was explaining to them that I use this thing called RStudio, which is a GUI, and they didn't make fun of me, so...
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, right. Because we're all hardcore command line guys here. Yeah, right. Yep. Yeah, cool. Excellent. So do you think you'll be thinking about attending again in future?
Yeah, quite possibly.
If the situations sort of line up?
Yep.
Yep, cool. Are there any other remarks you want to make about the conference?
Just to say thank you to all the organisers and all the staff here. It's been fabulous. Couldn't do it without them.
Yeah, everything's run really smoothly. We, there's always stuff that goes on behind the scenes, and they are dealing with issues and problems that come up, but...
Yep.
This year I'm a regular attendee. I don't have any behind the screen knowledge, and I do have a little bit of grumbles about the lightning talk setup, but that's the only thing.
Yep.
Apart from that, I haven't noticed any problems or issues. So it's been really good this year. All right. Well, thank you very much for the chat.
No worries. Thank you, Clinton.
So here I am for another afternoon tea chat just before the closing session of LinuxConf AU. I'm here with Niraj. It's Niraj's first time at LinuxConf AU as well.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about yourself and how you came to come to the conference.
Yeah, sure. So, hello, I'm Niraj. I come from Seek Limited. Seek is an online business where we connect candidates with hirers, and we have a global search platform. Came here because we started using a bunch of Linux and the tools, and started with the Unix philosophy at my in my team. One of my colleagues, who is actually a huge fan of Unix programming, who used to be here before, and he suggested last year that we should go, and I'm very fortunate to be here. So
work has helped you get here?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Cool. So were you interested in a particular talk or anything like that? Or were you looking forward to a particular speaker?
No, to be honest, I just didn't know what to expect.
Okay.
Since this was my first time, I knew that from the previous talk with my colleague, he mentioned that, it's just a bunch of people, humble people, talking about things. It's not a sales conference or anything, which I completely can see now. It was more to do with what people are doing on what they're hacking on. It's just projects and a few bits and pieces from kernel, things like that.
Fundamentally, LinuxConf AU has always been a technical conference, and we really do frown on talks that edge to the marketing side of things. You always get some talks that have a little bit of marketing in them. but we tend to frown on that. So have you been to a lot of other conferences prior to this, or was this sort of your first conference experience?
No, this probably would be my third conference experience.
Yep.
So okay. I've been to a few, from Elasticsearch and a Yale conference.
Yep.
But that's
yep.
it.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. So how have you found LinuxCon for you?
Fantastic.
Excellent.
Like I'm just terrified looking at what's going on outside my little world.
Right.
So the whole talks about open source and open data and whatnot, that just opened my mind.
Okay.
All the keynotes were quite good.
Excellent. So the thing that I look for at LCA is to try to come away with a few projects or libraries or languages or toolkits that I can incorporate with my daily work. Do you think you've come across a couple of things?
Yeah, I definitely have.
Cool.
One of the talks I went to was more to do with data and open data, and I did not know about that. So I did a bunch of research on how Australian government is opening up all these data assets, and I came across this HackGo,
which is GoHack.
So I was just doing some research on there, and I think I have an idea where can I use the data for barbecues and try to overlay on a map using all the open source technologies just to see what I can do with it.
So for our international listeners, GovHack is sort of similar to the Coding for America initiative.
Okay.
So they have a fairly sort of similar goal where governments or city councils have spent the money to collect a certain amount of data, and they're trying to make it available in an open format so that external organisations, they can be profit-driven or community-driven to reuse that data and get more value out of it. And because it's either a government or a city council has paid for it, it's like the public already owns it in a certain sense, because it's our rates or our taxes that's already paid for it.
Yep.
So in Australia, we've got the GovHack competition, which is a yearly competition where all the councils and the state governments around Australia, they will highlight the new data sets that they've made available during the year, and they run a weekend hacking competition to, over a weekend or 3 or 4 days, come up with an app or a website that makes use of that data. And some of these are just for community good, and some of these are actually trying to come up with business models and business plans around that. So GovHack was started by Pia Waugh, who gave the keynotes, the second keynote here.
Oh, right.
And she started that when she was working for the Australian government at federal level. So that's been run for a number of years, and now GovHack has been sort of like it's sort of run under the auspices of Linux Australia. So that has been sort of transferred from government to Linux Australia. So GovHack is run like it's a conference run under Linux Australia. I don't understand the details exactly, but the same umbrella organization that makes LinuxConf.au and PyConAU run also runs GovHack.
Oh, okay.
So
that's good to know.
There's a continuity of oversight there. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of the projects that I think that, you know, inspired me. There are like my head right now is just exploding.
Yep.
Especially with today's keynote, I just go, okay, what?
I'm gonna have to watch that one at like half speed, I think, to
yep.
try and
yep yep just to digest the information
yep.
in that talk. Yeah,
yep.
I just had to do that. Like even the Internet of Things, I never found myself interacting with electronics for some reason before, and all of a sudden I'm so much interested that I started.
Yep.
Like I already bought Raspberry Pi. It's sitting at my office desk now. And the whole Internet of Things and the small hardware devices or the small things, they're just inspiring.
Yep.
I have a couple of ideas around them, a
yep.
couple
cool.
of ideas for our work to implement. So,
cool.
yeah.
Cool. I'm very glad to hear that you've been inspired like that. So has there been any parts of the conference that you haven't enjoyed or that you think that could use some improving? Or
to be honest, I enjoyed most part of it, but there were times where I couldn't find something that impressed me. I think that's just normal, you know, not everything would interest you.
Yep, right.
Although I pushed myself out of my comfort zone and I ended up going to CPU architectures and kernels, which is a core part of Linux anyway.
Yep.
So I ended up going there, and again, there was an inspiration there where I was thinking to start contributing in FreeBSD, like just to see what's out there, how does it work with the kernel. Not that I don't know about kernel, but just to contribute and see how the merges and what it is.
Yep.
for maintenance, what does it mean for them.
Yep.
How hard it is or how simple it is and things like that.
Yep.
Because most of the talks were concentrated enough on maintainers and they don't scale and those sort of things. So yeah, I just want to understand more of them.
Cool.
But yeah, I mean, overall the conference is superbly managed. I can't see any flaws really.
Excellent. Cool. Well, it sounds like you'll be interested in coming back in future years.
Definitely.
Excellent.
Definitely.
Cool. Well, what I would suggest to you is you're inspired now. I would work on some projects and think about submitting a talk for next year. You might not feel that you're confident enough to try and submit a talk to the main part of the conference, but we've got the mini conferences that can be easy to get a talk into. So I take that inspiration that you're feeling now, see if you can turn that into a presentation for next year and submit a talk for next year.
Definitely, I'll try to do that.
Excellent. Cool. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Nope.
Cool. Okay. Well, hopefully I'll see you next year. Thank you very much.
You will.
Cheers.
Right. Thanks, man.
Cheers.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.